Scripture reading will be Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me.
The Butterball Turkey Company set up a hotline for questions about turkey. This is an old story, but it is a true story. One lady called back in 1995 and told the people at the hotline, "I have an old bird. It's been in my freezer for 23 years. I want to know if it is safe to fix this turkey for a meal." Well, the people at the hotline center said that the food was okay. It would be safe after 20 years, or the full 23 years, if the temperature had been less than zero for that entire time. The people on the other end of the phone call said that safety would probably not be an issue, but there could be a problem with taste. After 23 years, it probably would not be the taste that she wanted or expected. Well, the lady then closed the conversation with this line: "That's what I expected. I will give the turkey to my church." Well, one wonders just how much this lady appreciated the religious group where she worshiped. As I think about that particular story, and we could replicate it many times over, there are a number of folks that need a refresher course when it comes to being thankful as well as giving. When we look at our world, we find that appreciation and gratitude often seem to be forgotten commandments. In many ways, our society has reached a point where thanklessness is standard behavior. When we look at the New Testament, we find in God's Word a great deal of information directed to the subject of thankfulness. One of the places where we have this information is in the Gospels. We start this morning with Matthew 15, verse 36. Jesus, as you look at his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was someone who gave thanks. On various occasions, Jesus offered appreciation for food. In Matthew 15, again, this is the passage that we're starting with, Matthew 15, verse 36, towards the end of that chapter, and he, that's Jesus, took the seven loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks, he expressed appreciation and break, and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. Well, if this were an isolated event, we might not say that this was Christ's custom or habit. But we find other examples in the New Testament of Jesus offering appreciation. Another one that's found in Matthew's account comes from the end of his book, Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. We are familiar with the expression, the Last Supper. Jesus was helping his disciples foresee what was going to take place, what we just had a few moments ago, the Lord's Supper. As Jesus was preparing to help his disciples understand this, at least in some respects, he said and did this, Matthew 26, 27, and he took a cup and gave thanks, and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Well, when Jesus was associated with food, we find him expressing thanksgiving. Today, as we are his people, we should make that same association. Food is a basic need to survive. If we have food, if we have something to fill our stomachs with, we should be grateful. Now, it's true that we do not always have the kind of food that we want. In America, it is a very easy thing to do to become picky and choosy about various things. In the area of food, we may want the right brand. We, as Americans, might want the right taste. We want the right temperature, and we want the right amount. We may want it served at the right time, and we may want it served three times a day. We may not only want food served in all those ways and at all those times, but we want snacks in between. Sometimes people get all those things and more, and yet they are still thankless. If there is food on our table to eat, and there is enough of it, we have an obligation to be grateful. Jesus was thankful for food, but his gratitude went beyond that. He was also thankful for his relationship with the Father. In John 11, verse 41, Jesus said, "I am thankful that the Father hears me." How many times do Christians sit down and thank God for the things that they have in the area of spiritual blessings? Are we thankful that we have a place to worship? Are we grateful that as we come together, we have fellow Christians? Do we appreciate the fact that we can worship in peace? Are we grateful that we have a copy of the Bible in our native language, and it is a copy that we can afford? Are we grateful that we have come to a knowledge of the truth? Are we thankful that if we have friends and family members who have obeyed the gospel, that we are grateful for their obedience? Do we express appreciation to God for the fact that we have voices that work, they allow us to sing? Do we appreciate the fact that each Sunday we are able to give of our means? Giving means, of course, that we have a source of income. Do we thank God for the Lord's Supper each Sunday? It is a means of remembering Christ. It's easy for people to be a church basher. Don't see nearly as much of that in the church as we see in the religious world, but there certainly is a lot of that available. People can bash the preacher, they can whack the elders, and they can thump the deacons. They can rail at the Bible class teachers and condemn those who try to help in various ways. They may fault the person who cleans or, you know, condemn the person who's put up a bulletin board or a thousand other ways that people try to help. But, you know, finding fault with folks rarely leads to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is an integral part of Christianity. Thanksgiving is such a simple thing, but it is also for many a forgotten thing. A story is told of a woman who had her arms loaded with packages. She got on a bus, crowded bus. There were no seats. There was a man who was sitting down. He saw her plight, and he offered her his seat, and she was so shocked that someone would do that that she fainted. Well, she was revived, and shortly after she was brought back, she saw the man who had relinquished his seat. And according to the story, she turned to the man and said, "Thank you very much," and then he fainted in surprise. Well, I don't think that story is true, but it does demonstrate this particular point. Appreciation is something that we often do not find in the world. It's often the case that people fail in this regard, and sometimes fail miserably. This is not a new problem. Jesus had to deal with it in his life. Turning now, our next passage is also going to come from the Gospels. It's going to be from Luke chapter 17. In verses 11 through 19 of Luke 17, we have an interesting story. Luke tells us that there were 10 lepers. These men had one of the most serious diseases that has ever plagued man. In this day and time, there was no known cure. Luke tells us that Jesus healed these men. He did not simply make them feel better. He did not reduce their symptoms. He completely eradicated their problem. Now, if Jesus had charged these men for the healing that he gave, they certainly would have been grateful. They surely would have been willing to give all that they could have ever made for this treatment because there was no known cure. But you know, as you look at the account, you find that Jesus didn't charge these men. Not a single cent did they pay. Jesus offered these men a cure that was full, that was complete, that was perfect. And yet, in spite of what he did, what was the response from these 10 men? The Bible says that 90% of them were not grateful. Now, we might understand, or we might be tempted to believe that, well, of these 10, one of the guys, you know, was not thankful. There was one bad apple in the bunch. But that's not how it went. Luke chapter 17, we'll just look at verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answering said, "Were not the 10 cleansed?" Did not all 10 receive the healing? Well, the answer was yes. But where are the nine? Only one came back. Verse 18. Were there found none that returned to give glory to God save this stranger? Just one man out of 10 decided to come back and show appreciation. This was probably the most significant thing to ever happen in the lives of these men, and yet they did not have enough appreciation to turn back to Jesus and say two simple words, "Thank you." For at least the last 2,000 years, and certainly well before that, men and women have often been thankless. Children, sometimes that's a problem as they are reared in a home. They don't express appreciation during those early years, and maybe even when they become adults. They can look back and see what mom and dad did for them, and they are not grateful. When appreciation is not expressed, and it's maybe not just a two-time thing, but it is a perpetual thing, it frustrates people. Thus, Christians should take the lead in showing appreciation to others. Jesus' apostles certainly learned this lesson. There are a number of examples that could be used to illustrate this. But in my mind, one of the most vivid ones is found towards the end of Acts. It's in Acts chapter 27. We find in verses 7 and 8 of this chapter that Paul was on a ship and it was not a good time of year to be out on the water. In fact, it was a very dangerous time, Acts 27, verse 9, and Paul actually discussed this with the sailors. These men, though, did not have much interest in listening to him. Verse 10, and said unto him, this is Paul speaking, sirs, I believe that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Well, Paul issued this warning, and again, he had good reason for that, but these fellows wanted to continue, and they did. Well, as they continued the voyage, a terrible storm came upon them. They got to a point where they had to start jettisoning cargo. They were tossing goods overboard, verse 18. In verse 20, which we're going to read next, we find that the storm lasted for many days. And finally, verse 20 says, all hope seemed gone. And when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. Rather than listen to Paul, these men decided to continue on the journey, and things are really, really rough. Well, Paul makes a prediction, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Well, with that in mind, let's now complete the story, verses 31 through 35. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some food, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I beseech you to take some food, for this is for your safety. For there shall not a hair of your head perish from any of you. And when he had said this and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he brake it, and began to eat. Now here was a man with some others, and the circumstances were absolutely desperate. For 2 weeks they had been tossed around on a ship, and it looked like there was no hope whatsoever. Paul said, the ship that we're on, it's going to be destroyed. Paul was a prisoner. And yet in spite of all these things, the Bible says this apostle found reasons to be thankful. Not only did he find reasons to be grateful, he expressed that gratitude before all. Well, in our culture, that, of course, would not be a politically correct thing to do, but the apostle did it. Thankfulness does not always mean that we are going to enjoy our circumstances. I'm persuaded that there are people in life who have the idea that, well, when everything is lined up in our life, when everything is going as we think it needs to go, when everything seems to be perfect, then we're going to stop and be grateful. That's not the lesson that we find in Acts chapter 27. That's also not what we find with Jesus. Whether our circumstances are good and bad, we need to be grateful. Our thankfulness needs to be expressed, and that appreciation does not need to be limited to mere words. It certainly is possible to express our appreciation to God through prayer. We can express appreciation for all the things that we mentioned a few moments ago as far as spiritual blessings. But our thankfulness, our appreciation, can also be demonstrated by our actions. We have expressions like, do not tell me, show me. We can show our thankfulness to God. It's also possible for us to demonstrate a lack of thankfulness to God. If we are truly grateful to God, if someone today said, I want to know, you profess to be a Christian, are you grateful to God, yes or no? If we said yes, what if they said to us as a follow-up question, does that gratefulness show itself in your life? That would be an interesting question. Jesus once said, Matthew 22, verse 37, that we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. How do we do that? Well, there are a number of ways that we might accomplish that, and one of the reasons that we would seek to live in that kind of way is that we are grateful to God. If we love God in the way that Jesus described, with our heart, soul, and mind, it will show. You may remember that Jesus once asked a question in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. He was talking about workers, and the comments were, you know, there are not many. And Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth workers. Why are workers so few? Well, perhaps one of the reasons is people have a lack of appreciation for God. If they really appreciated what God has done, they would work. They would be involved. Some may be ashamed of the gospel and therefore refuse or are hesitant to show thankfulness. But Paul said, Romans 1:16, that's not the right choice to make. Not long ago, I had an interesting conversation, an extended conversation with a lady. Part of the conversation involved the death of her son, her only son. He died about a year ago. She told me that for a long time she struggled with that child's death, and it just seemed like in her life she could not overcome it. Then as she continued to work through that process, she said, finally I came to a point in my life where I understood some things about God and his graciousness to man. And now I talk to everybody I meet. Well, the lady does not accurately convey God's plan for salvation, but I will and I do credit her with this much. She has found in her life, as she went back and kind of reprioritized some things, she has found a number of reasons to be grateful. And as she has looked at her life and she's found those points of gratitude, it's changed her. She admitted to me that at a time in my past, I hardly ever talked to anyone about the Bible and Christianity. And now she says, I talk to everybody I possibly can. I've always got a tract in my pocket. And she pulled out what looked like 30 tracts, all the same one. But she said, here, you can see what I'm distributing to people. Well, again, the change in her heart as far as gratitude changed her attitude towards God. Too often people will look at God and say, well, what can I be grateful for? There are some things that are not good in my life. There have been some negative circumstances. And God, what can I be thankful for? Well, to that kind of question we might pose, James 1:17 is an answer. Every good gift comes from God. If we look at our life and we find even one good thing, whether it's small, whether it's big, we have something for which we can be grateful. Being appreciative and acting on that, both of those things are choices. Isaiah said a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, that we can honor God with our lips, but in our hearts we deny him. Far too often it seems that that's precisely what happens in life. The lips express appreciation, but the true gratitude for God that should be in the heart is simply not there. Not being grateful to God is a very unwise choice. I know that because it's been tried. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, Paul listed a number of terrible sins, horrible activities. And as part of that list, we find a lack of appreciation to God. This morning, if someone asked us, are we grateful to God? And we said, oh, yes, I am. And the person said, how do you demonstrate that in your life? What would we say? Do we demonstrate our gratitude to God in the opportunities that we have for worship? Do we demonstrate our appreciation to God in our day-to-day lives? Well, we cannot really be grateful to God until we take advantage of his offer to become a Christian. If we understand that man is in sin and we can't, you know, on our own deal with that. Jesus came. He paid the ultimate price. He was the only one who could save us from sin. If we understand what sin is and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, then we have gratitude towards God. And that gratitude causes us to have a desire to be obedient. It's like the people on the day of Pentecost who cried out, what must we do? They realized that they were in sin. They understood that God had provided a plan, and they were grateful that heaven had made that plan available to them. And they said, tell us how to obey. To those people who believe, Peter gave these simple words in verse 38 of Acts 2. Repent, you need to change. If you're really grateful to God, you're going to live as God describes. And then if you are really grateful to God, you're not only going to change your life, but you're going to be baptized and all of your sins can be forgiven. Imagine that. A record of sin that is completely expunged, not a trace left. When that's done, we have a choice. Back in Luke chapter 17, there were 9 people who received a great blessing and they were not grateful to God. They just went on their way. And sometimes people do that with the Christian life. Cleansed of their sins, yes. And then they just decide we're going to go and we're going to live our lives for ourselves. Or we can make the right choice. We can be like that one leper, the man that Jesus said was a stranger. He came back and expressed appreciation. If we have appreciation for God, have we become a Christian? And if we have, are we showing that appreciation in every way that we can? If the answer to either one of those questions is no, and this morning we can help you write your relationship with God, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?